Hello everybody. This is the translation of Carola's message for Sunday, the 26th of May. Grace and the Law. The Bible consists of two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is the main division of the Word of God. We could also say the covenant of law and the covenant of grace. These two totally opposed principles are in fact characteristic of the two great eras, law for the Old Covenant and grace for the New Covenant. The Old Covenant of the Law reigned from Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses and the people the Ten Commandments, until Christ. The New Covenant is the era of grace, and it began at Calvary, where Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice. Law and grace are two opposing principles that have nothing in common and are completely mutually exclusive. The Bible never mixes these two principles at any time. Paul writes to the Galatians who were trying to mix the two principles. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Why did the Galatians do this? They were saved by the extraordinary redeeming grace of Jesus, and they still wanted to take back part of the heavy burden of the law. For what? Why is it so difficult for us to live by grace alone? We probably won't be very tempted to return to circumcision like the Galatians, but we know of other temptations. Why do we still try to measure ourselves against laws? Why do we always seek to justify ourselves? There are so many verses in the Bible that explain the covenant of law and the covenant of grace. In the letter to the Romans, the letters to the Corinthians, the letter to the Galatians, to the Hebrews, for example, there are so many. It is undoubtedly because man is slow to really grasp these truths. Yet confusion is dangerous, as we have read. To fully understand and appreciate grace, we must understand what the place and purpose of the law is and why the law could never save us. We need to carefully observe what the law does. What does the law do? The law gives knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, in the eyes of God, no one will be righteous by doing what the law requires. Indeed, the law only allows people to know that they have sinned. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." Romans chapter 7, verse 7. The law makes sin a transgression. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. By the law, sin is imputed and can be punished. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. The law gives strength and power to sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. The law makes sin abound. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. The law gives the devil a weapon to accuse us. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The law is against us. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. The law is too heavy a yoke to bear. Acts chapter 15, verse 10. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? The law puts us under condemnation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? The law makes us die. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was. The law therefore shows us what sin is. Law prohibits stealing, what the penal code calls the fraudulent taking of another person's things. If the taking of another person's things was not prohibited, why would I not take what I please? Without law, there is no fault, no sin, which brings us to the reason for the law. Why was the law given? God gave us the law to show us how sinful man is. It shows us to what degree we are guilty. The law shows us how far we are from God and his perfection. This awareness of sin must lead us to accept Christ and receive his grace. The law brings us to Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. When a person has come to Christ by faith, it is no longer law that reigns over him but grace. The law no longer guides him, but grace. Through Jesus, he died to the law because Jesus is the end of the law. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. However, we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. What are the differences between law and grace? The law condemns and demands. Grace forgives and gives. The law brings death and condemnation. Grace brings life and reconciliation. The law is the letter that kills. Grace is the living word of Jesus. In my childhood, I grew up with the letter. To a certain extent, I also grew up with grace, but much less. I grew up in a church that prided itself on having more Bible knowledge than any other church. At home, we read the Bible four times a day. As a young adult, I attended two Bible schools, and I am grateful for all the knowledge I was able to build. But 10 years ago, I closed the Bible. I could no longer read the Bible. Every time I opened it, I only saw a God who judges and condemns. There was like a veil over my heart, as described in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This veil is linked to the law, to legalism, to a feeling of guilt. It lasted a good 2 or 3 years. Then I was able to benefit from an interior restoration course. During this time of restoration, I was able to accept the love of my Heavenly Father deep within me. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus showed me the path of grace. The veil has fallen. Afterwards, I took up my Bible again and read something completely different. I could read the same verse, but now it told me something else. When God says in Psalm 32, I will look upon you, before this look was for me a look that condemns. What liberation when we realize that it is a look full of unconditional love. The law says, fulfill the law. Grace says, it is finished. The law fixes its gaze on your person. Grace fixes its gaze on Jesus. The law says, do good, Grace says, Jesus did it well. Do you still find yourself saying, do good? Yes, I do. Precisely on the day when I was preparing this message, I was not satisfied with myself at all. How often we repeat to ourselves the old song of the law, do good. Most of the Ten Commandments begin with, thou shalt not. Most of the laws we impose on ourselves begin with, I should. As a Christian, I should spend more time in prayer. I should visit a sick neighbour. I should be more patient with my children. I should be nicer. I should always be happy. I should live healthier. I should. And if I can't do it, I feel guilty. Me, I'm not good enough. And if I succeed, I'm so proud of myself. Me. And here's the problem. My gaze is fixed on myself. I should. I can do better. And I'm trying to be better. Instead of approaching Jesus with all these burdens, telling him, I'm not patient, but you are infinitely patient with me. Thank you. To tell him, this person annoys me. I have no desire to be kind to him. But you, Jesus, created him. You know him and your love is infinite. Unconditional. Thank you. Your Holy Spirit makes your fruit ripen in me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, service, trust in others. Let us seek the Lord to know what good works he has prepared in advance for us to do. The law says, do this and live. Grace says, believe this and live. The law frustrates and discourages us. Grace gives hope and joy. The law separates man from God. Grace brings man closer to God. The law says, hate your enemies. Grace says, love your enemies. The law demands justice. Grace gives righteousness. The law has never had a missionary. Grace must be preached to everyone. The law condemns the best man. Grace justifies the worst man. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. The law stones the rebellious son. Grace embraces and restores the rebellious son, Luke chapter 15. Under the law, the sheep dies for the shepherd. Under grace, the shepherd dies for the sheep. Throughout the Bible, law and grace are presented as two completely opposite principles. Unfortunately, these two principles are often mixed. The law has the job of showing us sin and bringing us to Christ. Grace has the task of bringing us salvation and gives us the ability to live a holy life. Thanks to the Lord Jesus, through faith we have access to this grace. How many sincere believers struggle to overcome their sins? We strive to change our outward behaviour, to try to live like Jesus. But in our own strength, sin cannot be overcome by changing our behaviour. We need to receive the abundance of God's grace and the action of the Holy Spirit, who can change us from the inside. He can change our heart. God wants to give us his superabundant grace. He wants us to be so full of his grace. He wants our cup to overflow so much with his love and grace for there to be no more room for sin. By grace, the Holy Spirit transforms us into the image of God, by him and for him. So let's go to him. Amen.